chosen to worship with us here at Huffman today.
Let me ask you now to stand with me in the honor of the reading of the Word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and we're going to begin in verse 3 and read through verse 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, now let's slow down, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in His comfort too. This is God's Word. Father, as we come to you today, I am thankful that you are a providential God. I thank you that you have spared many lives over the past week, and yet there are many still who are hurting and are grieving over the loss of loved ones. You have not been surprised by this in any way, shape, form, or fashion, and in fact, you have given us the opportunity for several things in the events of this past Wednesday. One is to remember who you are and who we are in relation to you. To remember that this is an opportunity to be your hands and feet for those who are struggling and suffering. And then, Father, another opportunity for us to worship you as the God of creation and to understand you better. God, help me now as I speak from your word, that the things which I say will be consistent with your scriptures, that they will honor and glorify you, and that your people will be built up. For it's in your Son's name I pray. Amen. Last Sunday morning at 6:30, we gathered over behind the Rodham House for a sunrise service, Resurrection Day. We had a whole group of people who were there. Estimates ranged between 150 and 1,500. We had closer to 150. We had a great time of fellowship. We had a wonderful time of worship. We had a whole bunch of people here. We went to Sunday school, and not a single one of us had any idea Wednesday was coming. We knew the day was coming, but we didn't know what was going to happen. In fact, we are here today, and some people that you have talked to have scratched their heads and have asked you questions, possibly about God and theology, the Bible, and tornadoes. And so I decided to deliver a message. I was going to be in Romans 8:1-8 so we can get through the chapter, but things keep coming up. But I just message titled God, Tornadoes, and Faith. And we're going to start in 2 Corinthians 1, and I'll be coming back to that, but I want you to think with me. Just in Alabama, 250-plus people who woke up Wednesday morning are now in eternity. And there are hundreds that are still missing. The devastation that took place from Mississippi, Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Tennessee, Georgia, right on up into the Carolinas and Virginias, is almost unprecedented in America. How do we understand stuff like that as Christians? How do we understand the things that will happen that like this past Wednesday? Now, let me just say to you on the front end of this message, if I was a pastor in Tuscaloosa, or if I was a pastor in Pratt City, I would be preaching a different message than I'm going to deliver to you today. There would be much more comfort and much more encouragement. What I want to do today is for us who are here and who will interact with others in the coming days, weeks, and months to comprehend from a biblical and theological perspective the issue of comfort and encouragement we give as Christians and how to understand these things. Because I've had people ask, why this place and not that one? Why these people instead of these? Why did a whole family who was in a bathtub, a family of five no less, get sucked out of their home, strewn all across the place, all of them live, and yet a mother who is covering her baby in a car seat dies? How do we understand things like that? Well, that's what I want us to try to take a look at this morning. I want you to, first of all, consider with me the first thought. And I'm not even having you fill in any blanks today. Can I get an amen? You're welcome. You can make the checks out to Ron Etheridge. Let's remember that the events of such as this are a mystery to us, because God is God and we're not. Let me read to you. Now, don't turn. I have a passage I want you to turn to in a minute. Just let me read some verses to you. The first one comes from Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 5 in the New International. Okay? New International. Here's what is written. As you do not know the path of the wind, huh? Or how the body is formed in the mother's womb, so you cannot understand the work of God, the maker of all things. A passage that's probably much more familiar to you is Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, where God says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Guys, we can't understand the works and ways of God. We don't know why He does one thing and not another, except to say that it is in His mystery, it's in His will. And because He is God, He can do those things, right? I mean, let's remember that. Why can God do whatever He wants to do? He's God. Let's don't let go of that. We can't comprehend God's motivation in times like this. And this much I can tell you, and I'll be making a few quotes along the way that you may want to write down. This is one of them. People will react different to the events of Wednesday. But remember that the same sun that softens wax hardens clay. That's from a great missionary named Amy Carmichael. The same sun that hardens clay softens wax, to put it the other way. So we are called to do something important as believers, and that's to go to God. I'm about to get ahead of myself. I need to slow down here a minute. Let me give you the next point. This one is in your outline. In the midst of tragedy, we serve a God who comforts. That's the verse that we read just a moment ago. Let me just read it for you again. You have it in front of you. It says, "Blessed be the God of our Father. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all mysteries, of all mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our affliction so that we may be able to comfort others with the comfort by which we are comforted by God." Now, this is going to apply broad range. One of the reasons God allows or causes things to come into our life is so that when others experience them themselves, we can go to them and give the comfort that God gave us. We are to be His hands and His feet and His mouth, to be reflections of His love and His mercy and His comfort. And I want to just say something. When people are going through tragedies such as this, the first thing that they need from us are tears. They need for us to put our arms around them and to say nothing more than, "I am sorry," and to pray with them. There's a time for truth later, which I'll be presenting to you here in just a few moments. But people don't need truth from people. The last thing somebody who has been ravaged by a tornado needs to hear is, "God has a purpose in it." Well, sure, He has a purpose. But they can't process that when they're looking at a house that is devastated and they have nothing whatsoever to their name and one of their family members is lost. So truth comes later, or at the moment, what we have with them is tears and ministry. God is the God of comfort. And so we pray to Him to use us to comfort and that He will comfort them. We believe as Christians in God and His Word, and we trust Him. And these people need comforting, and that's what we, I believe, God has called us to do. Now, how do we comfort those who are hurting? Well, one thing is we do pray, because if anybody receives comfort, it comes from God. By whatever avenue or means. I mean, do you remember Balaam's donkey? Uh-huh. I mean, God can even use a donkey. I'm not using the Alabama word, okay? Huh? You with me? He can use a donkey to deliver a message. He can use an unsaved person to comfort somebody who needs comforting who's a believer or even not a believer. So we are to pray to God for Him to comfort, and then us to be also the conduits through which His comfort comes. So we can pray, we can give. We're going to be receiving an offering here in a little bit. You can volunteer to go help. You can come over here to this desk, get started. There are many things you can do. The point is that we do something for God's glory. And as Jesus said, nobody who gives even a cup of cold water in my name will lose their reward. So we have an opportunity this day to be an encourager for others. Now, from this point forward, guys, we're moving into some theology, okay? And here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Take your outline. Your outline. Some of you have them. You see that little section here says, note, reflect prayerfully from this point forward? I'm going to ask you to do that. Because we're going to talk about some things that you may not have heard before. And I'm going to suggest some thoughts that are biblically sound that I don't ask you to just suck in and take in because I'm standing up here before you preaching them, even though they're from the Word, but to test them and try them by the Word of God to make sure they're true. And I want to ask you to reflect upon these that we may think biblically. We are not people who are called to live on emotion. Emotions are good. I'm glad God's given them to us. I enjoy worshiping Him. That's an emotional experience. As it is when we read the Scriptures, they move us emotionally. But we are also called to think. When we hear people say things on the TV, be biblical thinkers. And that's what I want to try to help you with a little bit this morning. So let's move into our theology. We need to be very careful of judging God. Because people will ask questions. This is the evidence of your loving God? Why did this person make it and not that person? Why this community? And by the way, do y'all realize that by the providence of God, He got the tornado to lift up and go over us? Who was it told me just a few minutes ago that he stood in his front yard and watched it go over? I wanted to go, what's wrong with you? I did. Who was that? Where is he? Raise your hand. I am not kidding. I told him, I said, James Spann was telling you to get in your safe place. He goes, I was fine. Yeah. But you know, last Wednesday, you know, we call off church and I'm down in my cave, my study. And I'm watching it, and you know, it's going through Tuscaloosa, and I'm just rattled by that. It's going on its way towards Bessemer, where my mother-in-law lives, and I have a nephew that's down in Tuscaloosa. And then he says, those of you in Roebuck, Huffman, I said, whoa, 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 whoa. All of a sudden, things get kind of serious right there, don't they? But by God's providence, the tornado skipped over us. And it's only by His hand that we are not Pratt City. Amen. Now, when it comes to events, this is a quote I would ask you to remember. We are called to understand events in light of God, not God in light of events. Amen. I wish I was smart enough to have come up with that, but I'm not. Let me say it for you again. We are to understand events in light of God, not God in light of events. And so when things like this happen, it's not the time to question God's motives or reasons for happening, for events happening. It's a time for us to seek God as Christians, to understand Him, to try and put our arms around who our God is. You know, people ask the question, where was God? Let me give you a better question. Where is God every day? Because if we are going to start questioning God because of a tornado that happens on a Wednesday or several tornadoes where, you know, the death toll, I think, it's under 1,000. You know, that's huge. But do you understand how many people die every day because of famine and AIDS and starvation and ethnic cleansing? Do we grasp how huge it is that the number of untimely and unnecessary deaths transpire over the whole world and we say nothing until it hits right here? If we're going to question God about the events of a tornado, I'm going to tell you something. We're going to be questioning God every day. And so we better get our theology on track. Because there's a whole lot of stuff happening in this world that is this tragic. And if we can't give a biblical, solid, theological, cogent answer when people do question, then we're in a heap of trouble. A heap of trouble. So I want us to think again. The best way to do this is to think about a man in the Old Testament that you've heard of many times. His name was Job. And I want to tell you something. None of us have ever experienced what Job experienced in 2 days. In 1 day. I mean, think with me. In 1 day, he lost 7 sons and 3 daughters. He lost 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 oxen, 500 female donkeys, and all his servants. By the way, they used the barter system back then. The more grain, the more animals that you had, the richer you were. He was the richest man. Probably he was the Bill Gates and Donald Trump rolled into one back then. And he lost it all like that. You know what Job's first response was? The Lord gives, you got it. And the Lord takes away, blessed be the name of the Lord. But then something else happened. Because everybody I've heard on TV has said, things can be replaced. And they can, right? Things can be replaced. But then all of a sudden, he got struck with boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. His wife even came to him and says, why don't you just curse God and die? And he looked at her. Now think of the theology of Job here. He says, shall we receive good and not the bad from the Lord? Wow. In other words, he had a theology that understood the providence of God. He had a theology that was such that even when he cried out to God, you remember, he cried out, God, why are you doing this? And God didn't answer him. Not a single time did God give him a reason for what he was doing. And I want you to think with me. Here we are thousands of years later and we're still talking about Job. Thousands of years later, people still read that book of the Old Testament, probably the oldest book in the whole Bible, and they are encouraged and blessed by what they find in the book of Job. Because you see, what if God had told Job, you want to know the reason why I'm doing all this, Job? The reason is because for the next several thousand years, people are going to be reading your life story, and they are going to be blessed, and they are going to be encouraged, and their faith is going to be built up. And Job would have said, oh, that makes sense. Come on. But that would have been a lack of faith. And God wants us to walk by, not by sight. So God never told him why. He never told him why. But as a little sidebar, you do know that after God showed up, God showed up in a big way. Because after Job kept questioning God for a while, God showed up and said, who is this that darkens counsel without knowledge? In other words, God looks at Job and says, who do you think you are, son? I'm going to ask you some questions and you answer me. And for 3 chapters, God just fires them one after another. And Job one time says, I'm shutting my mouth. He says, I'm putting my hand over my mouth. I'm done. Stick a fork in me. Now that's my translation. Okay. But then God relented. And God restored him double what he had before. Now, this is an opportunity for us to show God's mercy and grace to people who are struggling. The point I'm wanting us to get and see is this, is that our God knows what He's doing. He is God. And there does come a place in the Christian faith where we have faith in God. Amen. But you know what's interesting to me in all this? It's how quick people are to put God in the dock when hard things happen. How quick they are to put him on trial and to question and to be skeptical of who God is. And why is it we don't think as clearly and as deeply and as succinctly when we are blessed by God? I mean, Do you all realize that the reason we are here this morning is because God allowed us to wake up this morning? That's the reason. Do you realize that the reason you have clothes on your back, that you have money in the bank, food in your pantry, that you live in America and not Ethiopia, is by the grace and mercy of God? Amen. But yet, we seem to kind of forget that, don't we? Why don't we remember God when we wake up in the morning and look at the beauty of a sunrise? Instead of saying, isn't that beautiful? What we ought to do is say, praise be the God who made the sunset. Or why don't we remember it after the freshness of a rain, or when we hear birds singing, or your children move out of the house? I'm not there yet, okay? Or when a baby cries. Guys, I would like to suggest to you that one of the reasons God causes or allows, whichever's good for you, events like this, is to remind us to be thankful for what we have. And to praise Him and to worship Him. You see, God is in the middle of all events. Do you understand me? He's not in the middle of some of them. He's in the middle of all of them. He's in the middle of blessings as He is the difficulty. The question is not where is God. The answer is God is everywhere. He is not in his throne room. He didn't spin the world and back up and watch it start working itself out. He is in the middle of it all, working for His glory and our ultimate good. That's Romans 8:28. That's what God's doing, even when we don't understand. You remember Proverbs 3:5? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. Let me tell you something. Let's remember this. He's God, we're not. There is a time where we just need to trust God. Amen. And move on. Let me give you the bulk of the message point. If there was one point, I'd say, if there's somebody next to you asleep, nudge them now. Because I want them to hear what's coming next. Because for me, this is a time for us to get perspective in life. Hello? It is time for us to get perspective in life. Because at any moment of any day, it could be our last. It could be our last. In Psalm chapter 139 and in verse 16, the scripture is written there that all the days ordained for us were written in God's book before there was one of them. So we don't know when our day's coming. So as a result, maybe we ought to think heavily on that. So therefore consider, don't turn to this, I mean if you want to turn to it, but let me read for you James chapter 4 beginning in verse 13. James writes under the inspiration of the Spirit of God these words. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will do this and we will do that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. And all such boasting is evil. God's not saying don't make plans. The point of this passage is make plans that take into account God. Because in all honesty, it's wise to remember that God is in the midst of us working all things for His glory and our ultimate good. He is working in all things in accordance with His will. That's what God is. That's His job description. Each life is filled with blessings and heartaches, joy and sorrow, good and bad. And they're all in the hands of God who sends the rain on the just and the unjust alike. That's Matthew 5:45. If we take God into account in the events of our life, then we're going to make plans, but understand and realize and be trusting in Him when they don't go our way. And if we're thinking that in our head, we might as well go ahead and say it. As a testimony to others and a reminder to ourselves. So when it comes, you know, somebody said, what are y'all doing for your vacation this summer? Well, we're going to go to Epcot, God willing. My daughter's getting married next June 15th, God willing. I think it's good that whenever we talk about the future and plans and whatever we want to do, to add that, God willing, as a testimony to others and a reminder to ourselves. Can I say something? I don't think I'm weird here, but when people pray, I think they ought to say, in Jesus' name, or in Christ's name, or in your name. That's not a magic stamp that gets the prayer there. It's a reminder of why we can pray and God hears us. And if we're thinking it, why not say it? So there are two little things that I just, well, there's more, but I'm only talking about two. Yeah, we're going to, okay, I'm one of the chaplains with the North American Mission Board, and I'm supposed to go over to Pratt City this afternoon and do some prep work, God willing. Because I'm going to tell you something, there could be something happen between Huffman and the staging area behind Rickwood Field, and I never make it. So let's keep that in our mind from the book of James chapter 4. That's why it is written in Psalm chapter 90 and verse 12, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Newsflash, you won't live forever in this body on this earth. The ages of people who were killed in the tornado that I've personally heard of range from 6 months to 98. And we don't know which one we are. Let me ask you to turn to the book of Luke 13. Having a heart of wisdom, while you're turning there, having a heart of wisdom is knowledge that life is short, that one day you will stand before God, and you will recount for all the events in this life. Wisdom is being prepared to stand before God. That's what Psalm chapter 90 and verse 12 is. And Luke 13, this is an interesting passage because Jesus is being interviewed much like an event we had last Wednesday. And I figured since Jesus was interviewed somewhat, let's see what he says about such events and learn from him. Luke chapter 13, let's begin reading in verse 1. There were some present at that very time who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate mingled with their sacrifices. Now stop for just a minute. That's all we know about it. But somehow Pilate killed a whole bunch of people and mingled their blood with sacrifices that they were making. It was a tragedy. It was a tragedy that was well known in that day. But this is all we know about it. Verse 2. And he answered them, do you think these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered in this way? No, I tell you. But unless you repent, you'll all likewise perish. Or those 18 on whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them, do you think they were worse offenders than all the others who lived in Jerusalem? No, I tell you. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Now, you want to talk about politically incorrect? That's the definition of it right there. I mean, think about this for a minute. It would be like somebody from ABC 3340 or whatever station you're most affiliated with is interviewing a pastor while the devastation of Pratt City is in the background. They've got the cameras on him and they take the microphone. They say, Pastor, what do you think about these events? And they put the microphone in his face and he says, if you don't repent, you're going to perish just like they did. Yeah, who said that? I don't know who said it, but they're right. Let me get the point. Let me suggest an understanding of this. Jesus was not being harsh here. He was being truthful. Amen. And what Jesus is doing is saying, the issue that we need to be discussing here is not why or how people died, but that they entered eternity understanding before God. Amen. And unless you are ready for that, regardless of how you die, you're not ready. That's Jesus' point. Look, people are going to say that because of where a tornado hit, God was punishing them. No, he wasn't. No, he wasn't. If God sent natural disasters to punish people, He would just wipe everybody out at one time. Because we're all sinners and we deserve it. We live in a broken world. A world that has fallen. Where tragedies happen. And the point is not why they happen, but are you ready to stand before God when your life ends? That's the point Jesus is getting to here. That's what He's getting to. The devastation and loss of life from a tornado or the tornadoes was a tragedy. And it's going to take a lot of time in God's Spirit to heal all kinds of wounds that have taken place. We are asking God to be the conduit through whom He heals. But here's what I want to say as we bring everything to a close. Yes, there's a lot to be said about tornadoes, and there's a lot to be said about theology, and there's the providence of God, and so many different dynamics. But guys, it boils down to one thing. Are you ready to stand before God Almighty? The only way to be ready to stand before God and give an account for your life, whereby He will say, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your master," is if you know God through Jesus Christ. There is no other way. There is no other way. It may happen to us this week, not by a tornado, who knows how. We may all live another 50, 60 years, I don't know. But the issue for me as a pastor this morning is not so much those tornadoes as it is, do you know Jesus? And is He your Savior? And if you do not know Jesus Christ, then it's not about walking an aisle or raising your hand or getting wet in a baptistry or joining a church. Those things don't save you. The only thing that saves a person is when they confess that they are a sinner to Almighty God and believe that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. The Scripture says that if you believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. Amen. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." That's what's important for me this morning, is that you know Christ. If you don't, here's what you do. Right where you sit right now. As you can cry out to God when you bow your head, put it in your own words. All it has to be is, "God, I believe that your Son died for me. God, forgive me of my sin and save me." And He says He'll do it. Then you follow Him. If you have questions, talk to me. I'll help you. Be glad to. But bottom line, guys, let's make sure we're ready for when our day comes. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank You that You're our King and our God. That You are the God of salvation. You are the God of glory. And Father, if there are any here today that do not know Your Son, I would ask by Your Spirit and by Your power that You bring them to repentance and You give them the faith to believe. Help them, Father, to do what they cannot do, to cry out to You for salvation. We also ask for You to be the healing and the encouraging on those who have suffered as a result of the tornadoes. Father, may they too come to know Your Son through Your people. Thank You for loving us, and during this time of invitation, move as You so desire. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.